All right, hello and welcome to another of the Long Ball Football pre-season preview shows. This time we're talking all things Braga, and I'm delighted to say we've got a great friend of the show, Dave Pereira, joining us from That Braga Podcast. Dave, how are you, man? Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm doing great, doing phenomenal. Can't wait for the season.
Brilliant. Yeah, a shame that Cal can't join us. Cal was meant to be with us, Dave's co-host, but he got caught up with a couple of things. So just me and Dave today, but looking forward to getting stuck in, talking about all things Braga. As you say, very eager to get the season started. It's starting this weekend. Although I think it's fair to say for Braga, the season's already going because you've had European football. So I think that's probably a good place to start. I usually start these by saying, you know, how's pre-season been going? But you guys have had actual football to watch. So even though it's only a couple of games, how are you feeling? How are the Braga fan base feeling in general after getting a decent glimpse of the team so far?
I think right now the jury's still out. There's mixed reviews from within the fan base as far as what they expected, what they're seeing, and there's been a massive change in from where they were last year. And there was a good amount of departures for a transfer market that seems like it's stalled right now. None of the big names have seemed to really move yet in Portugal, and Braga seemed to clean house right away. They're like, we're gonna cut some of these older guys we had. We have to go younger. Definitely a problem, and it showed instantly when José Font, Pizzi, right out of the gate on. Jalo was already done in January. We already knew that. So we did some business right away and just kind of just filled in some of those spots. I can't say, it's funny, and I'm sure we'll get into it later. I don't think we're necessarily, the roster's closed yet. I'm not sure we actually improved dramatically. I don't think we dropped off too far, but there's definitely a downgrade in some positions. But I do believe we have a better coach. So although the team might not be as tactically sound and the fans might not be as confident in the abilities of the players, I do think we have a better coach and staff right now.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're doing four of these with guests, you know, Benfica, Sporting, Porto, Braga. And I feel like perhaps alongside with Porto, Braga have had the most changes over the summer. And there's the most to talk about. So we'll get stuck into all of it, of course. I think perhaps the manager is a good place to start with, actually, because that is obviously a huge change. Daniel Sousa comes in from Arouca, replaces Arthur George, who went off to Botafogo in Brazil. Seems like he's doing pretty well out there, so fair play to him. But I think it's fair to say that it's a very different coach who came in. I think they got very different styles. I think Daniel Sousa is a much more, I think probably a more attacking coach and probably a more demanding coach, perhaps, in terms of the system that he's going to ask the players to play. How did you feel about that appointment? And are you happy with Daniel Sousa coming in? Because I think he was one of the more coveted managers in the league, certainly as a young manager, achieved great things with Arouca. But, you know, there's no point pretending that the step up to Braga is not a big step up.
Right. And I agree with you on that. I do think it's a massive jump for him. I do believe he earned it. He's done a phenomenal job. And after the Gil Vicente job he did, he didn't take a position right away. And I'm sure there were offers, even to renew. And he didn't take, I remember thinking about it. And I was like, that's all odd. He did a phenomenal job saving that club. You would think he wanted to step up in some way, but maybe he didn't get the job he wanted at that time. Goes into Arouca and does an absolute phenomenal job. And I think he took it over. He might've been in last place.
I think he was.
It was in like last place and brought him fighting for Europe. And it wasn't until the last 4 weeks of the season where he said, all right, we're playing for nothing at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're talking, it was only 2/3 of the season and took you from last to fifth. That I find that to be a remarkable job. Probably if it's not for Ruben Amorim, he's probably coach of the year.
Yeah.
You know, out of the top three, he's probably coach of the year. So I was happy when the Arthur George thing came up and he started taking meetings. He said it got a little ugly and he took a meeting he wasn't supposed to. I think he knew his time was up too. He just didn't get enough out of a club. And the talent level was there. It's and they just didn't they didn't play well enough, and it's odd. Like nobody expected them to, take first place in the league, but they did expect better quality football, and he didn't show that. Now, he got results his first year. The second year just wasn't there with a better team. So when his name started coming up, I was happy to hear it, but it is a massive step up for him. Now, he went into both those last two coaching jobs. He goes in knowing he has to salvage what he can with what he has. Now he's taken a step up in club and expectation, and now for the first time, he gets to pick the groceries for the meal he's cooking. I think it's a different dynamic for him. Let's see if he's up to it. I think tactically he's a good coach. It's funny, one thing I did notice with his press conference when he was introduced, and now still he doesn't have that charisma yet and that comfortability in front of a microphone. So he still seems a little nervous talking. And that's something that, like, I think the communication department is going to have to work on, but it's a part of the job. You have to be able to relay your message to the fan base. You've got to be able to, be the first one through the door, always get shot, right? It's the motto of war. So he's going to have to deal with all the pressure from the media now asking him questions and have that ability to talk and relay his message and defend his players, even if he doesn't necessarily think he deserves. It's a different. He's battling the media now, and I don't think he's ever had to do that in the past. So I'm intrigued to see how he does that. How he started off so far. The Bonza thing worries me, right? So you know he's going to get sold. He hasn't been playing. He wasn't called for this last Europa thing. I wonder if he's allowed to pick any of the groceries. Salvador has such a grasp on the club and the vision for it, and how much decision making does he have in personnel? You can go back and say, like, he maybe had some picks, but he inherited a pretty good Europa team.
True.
And you look at the guys that he brought in that January window. It might have been the two center backs. And I think he brought Hamachi, was his name, Hamachi from Boa Vista. And I thought he would have done better. I didn't see enough of him. But he got right on the center backs. They did okay. So I'm intrigued to see what he does here. Out of the gate, I'm not. It hasn't been pretty for 90 minutes. He hasn't played a. It's not. It's better. I like it better than Arthur Jorge. You can kind of see what he's doing. He has some direct play in him, but I do think he is worried about the defense still, because I don't think any of those questions were solved.
Well, I think that's a really interesting part of his appointment, because I think one of the main criticisms leveraged that after George was the defense, right? The Braga's defense really struggled under after George. That said, I don't think I would have necessarily chosen Daniel Souza as the manager to come in and fix the defense. He's a great manager, and I think and I personally feel confident that he'll get Braga playing good football, but it's going to be a little bit gung ho. It's going to be a little bit chaotic at times. That's how he got his rookie team playing, and he got a rookie playing really great stuff. I mean, you look at the game they put together against Porto at home last season. That was, probably for me the best example of Daniel Souza executing his football the way he wants to, in a way that Arouca were just so relentless in how they got forward. They were brave and positive, and they were able to get past one of the best teams in the league multiple times. At Daniel Souza's best, that's what he can do. And I think if you're being looking at a positive sense, when you're given better players to do that, I think there's a very, very exciting prospect there. But you mentioned some very interesting things as well. I think when I look back to Arthur Jorge, and I agree completely when you say that there is just this feeling that he underachieved with what he was given. That summer, last summer, when there was a lot of investment and he was given big players for once, and perhaps didn't live up to expectations. You sense then, as Arthur Jorge himself was the youth team coach promoted, that maybe the next logical step is for Braga to say, well, let's bring in someone with experience to match these experienced players. And we'll come on to the transfers very shortly, but a lot of the experienced players left and another inexperienced manager came in. So I think it's a really interesting appointment for me. I still feel very positive about Daniel Souza. I think he's proven that he's probably, for me, one of the best tactical managers in the league. Very interesting to hear from yourself that perhaps what he needs to develop next is that leadership. and our confidence, because that's going to be huge. Let's get stuck into the transfers though, because I mean, everyone loves transfers. And as you say, was a big kind of overhaul in the summer. Some big departures: Alvaro Agüero to Athletic Club for 15 million euros, Rodrigo Gomes to Wolves for 15 million euros. Eber Ruiz, I mean, I think if he divided opinion a little bit, but a 9 million euro fee from Girona in Spain. And then, as you say, some of the more experienced players, Jose Font, Pizzi, even Christian Borja leaving.
Right.
How do you rate the departures on the whole? Because I think it's I think it's good value for Jello, considering he was always going to leave. He was never going to sign a new deal. So you had that aspect of it. And I think with Rodrigo Gomes, perhaps slightly disappointed that he didn't just have one more season at Braga to kick on. Great season at Estoril. Maybe you see the progression as one more season at Braga increases value even more and then go for more. But I do kind of understand, because between Jello, Gomes and Abel Ruiz, that's nearly 40 million euros in transfers. So in that sense, I do kind of understand why some of those departures happened. And as you say, we could also see Banza leaving, a big striker. So the fees make sense to me, but that's quite a few key players leaving.
Yeah, that the Jello one, you knew in January, and you kind of felt it at his age. I think he was like 24 already. So this is, he's knocking on the door of him. This is going to be roughly, if not in the next one, this is his contract for his career, right? You're 24 to 27. Is 27 is probably your last chance to get a good contract. This is probably the window where he's like, I'm at my peak now. I have interest from another club to raise my salary. You knew in January he wanted to. I think he wanted to leave in January. I think there was come that January window, there was a drop in his production amongst other players. But his was noticeable. He was so good in that first half of the year. 15 million, I find it fair. I don't think we're a club who has the ability to overly inflate. I mean, we've had some times in January where the Vitinha deal for 30 million was wild, phenomenal. I don't think he was worth it then, but again, the market is what dictates that. I do think 15 million for him was all right. Rodrigo Gomes was an interesting one, because you would have loved to see him back here, right? But when he was here, he couldn't break into that front three. We didn't play a 3-4-3 where he could be like a wing back, where that was going to work for him, because it seems like what he's playing now, or what he played at Estoril, and where he obviously made a phenomenal impact in the league. He's playing up front for Wolves, from how I watched them in a game, which I found interesting, and maybe that'll work for him. But when his time in Braga, it didn't seem like he had the ability to play that position. And when you look at what's there now, is he going to play over Ricardo Horta, Bruma,
Roger?
The time Roger wasn't, come the summertime, Roger wasn't necessarily, you didn't really know if he was going to play over those guys. So would his value have gotten higher? Maybe they just felt this was the best time to move on for him. The Abel Ruiz deal, you know, he's one of those players where you rooted for it. Like, come on, you're right there. You're missing that it factor, right? That put the ball in the net. Can you put the ball in the back of the net? So you got your money back in theory from him. I mean, his deal was, I think, 8 million, but it was a $30 million sale from Trincao to Barcelona. Barcelona then made you pay 8 million for him. So it was like him and 20 something million for Trincao. You got your money back, and now you just got another winger. Another winger came in that $9 million deal for Abel Ruiz. The Christian Borja deal was just kind of, from what I understood, Sporting was paying half his salary for the four years that he was still with Braga. If he was on Braga, the deal said they would pay half his salary or majority of it. And I think that just came up. So Braga said, I don't think he valued him at a full, whatever his salary was. I don't think they valued him at that amount. So they think that was just a financial decision made. The Banza deal, on a staying with departures here, that's coming, and that might be a systematic thing. You know, if you watch the way Daniel Sosa has been playing out, he presses like crazy. And they brought in a young Moroccan striker who's, although he might not be as, you know, as clinical in front of the net, doesn't seem like it yet, but he fights and he battles and he runs through, which is nice to see. But I don't think Bonzo is that guy anymore. He's not going to press for 60, 70 minutes running around the front. And then Andre Horta, which is a heartbreaker for me. I'm a big fan of his game, the way he plays. I think there's a spot for him on this team, and I just don't think he wants to sit on the bench if he's playing in Braga. Maybe he's fine with it in other places, getting paid a little more. I think in Braga, he's like, I'm just not coming. I don't want to be on the bench here anymore. So that's fine. So there were some big names gone. But I mean, I am enthused about some of the players we brought in. We had to address the center back spot. And although I'm a big fan of Nyakate, I think he's done a phenomenal job since January, since he got back from AFCON, or what was maybe it wasn't AFCON, League of Nations. He's done phenomenal. So you knew he was going to start on that left side. They brought in Bamboo from, which I think that's a Daniel Sousa reference. Sadly, he's already hurt. So I would have liked to see them just from a speed standpoint. Jose Font didn't have the speed, knowing how high Braga plays up the pitch. Their central defenders are so high up. You got to have a guy to be able to catch, chase down attacking players. So he's out, but they did spend a ton of money on this young German center back, but another left-footed guy. So right now, Bright, I think MB is his name. Comes with a pedigree from a lot of big clubs. I guess none of them stuck, but Chelsea, Bayern Munich, and it's another left-footed center back, and right now you have two of them playing back there. So maybe for speed you'll be okay, but I don't know. I'm interested to see that. João Marx from Estoril, that was done in January too. Big fan of him. I think he kind of comes to take that spot of Pizzi, that attacking midfielder winger role, but younger, more upside right now. And although maybe decision-making's not there like you get from a Pizzi, you get the athleticism, the shooting from the outside that he can do because he's willing to take shots. Hopefully he can get in. He hasn't played much, oddly enough. I haven't seen him in there much. And then probably the one that I'm most intrigued by is this young kid they got from the team that Cuates went to from Sporting.
Nacional.
So they got this kid, Thiago Helgueira. The praise of this kid is phenomenal. I haven't seen, you can go down the dark hole in the web and see videos and references and everybody talking about him. But the overall consensus was they were extremely disappointed that he left this early. And from the 20 minutes I've watched of him, and we haven't been able to replace Al Musrati since he left and he got injured. And that's been noticeable. João Moutinho has done well, but he's not that type of player. He's not going to break up passes, intercept passes, and be able to construct and lead an offense. This kid brings I'm not saying he's going to be Al Musrati, but he brings what you saw in that. And I'm really intrigued because I don't think Gorbi has that is enough right now. When you watch this last match, Gorbi didn't seem to have this connection with Zalazar that it worked out well. So I'm hoping this kid, he's been hurt. He just finally got back, so I don't think he's in form yet. I'm intrigued to see what he can do as a substitute coming in as a third midfielder in this club.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, there are obviously some really interesting signings and lots of signings, which is, I think, something that had to happen. I'm interested. I'll run through just a few of the details, actually. As you say, the centre-back, Bright Arambi from Hanover, 21-year-old centre-back for €6 million. That's for a club like Braga, it's a big investment. So obviously a lot of hopes pinned on him. And then Thiago Helguera, as you mentioned, 18 years old, so young, nearly €4 million as well. So a big prospect. And then you have João Marques, the winger, as you said, El Ouazzani, the Moroccan striker from Juncamp in France. A young Spanish striker, Roberto Fernandez from Malaga, a Polish left back called Bartolomeu Wadowicz, signed from the Polish league, and as you say, Robson Bambu, and Gabriel Martinez, the winger who came for free the other way from Girona. So lots of signings. I mean, the theme there is that they're all young players. Other than Bambu, they're all under 23. And you mentioned Helguera replacing potentially Musrati. I think that's a really interesting one, and it is kind of eye-opening in a way, because I mean, I love Daniele Amorati. Anyone who listens to the show knows I love that guy. I watched him play in real life a couple of times. It was a privilege because he was fantastic. And for me, one of the most underrated players in the league. I would have had him in the top three players in the league personally. So to replace him with an 18-year-old kid, obviously you can't replace Ali Amorati like for like without spending the best part of 30, 40 million euros. So to go the other way and say, well, we'll sign the 18-year-old version and hope we get our money's worth is makes sense financially, but then you run the risk of how soon can you bring him in? So really, really interesting signings. A clear strategy, though, of going for young players. I do think perhaps that does suit Daniel Sousa a bit, because I was thinking about this in comparison with Arouca. Although the players that he had at Arouca weren't necessarily young, you know, the players like Jason, Christo, Mujica, they weren't necessarily young, but they were all players that he developed and he got the best out of. I think you do that more, obviously, with young players than you do with veterans like Pizzi or José Font, players like that. So I think in that sense, it does suit Braga, but I don't know whether you think the same, but perhaps you have that feeling of, are these players experienced enough? And in the long term, is that something that could buy us?
Yeah, no, that's definitely an issue. And that's when I started seeing them cut veterans, you're like, okay, this is, could be just a salary dump. Could be the fact that you're bringing in a young coach who's taking a step up in level for him. And like I said, as soon as I heard him talk to the media, you could see he was still a little nervous. You're like, so can he take authority in a room full of guys who have been at, you have European champions and José Font who might not take to your style of running like he would, like a young kid who's like, yeah, fine, I'll just run around this field and press. And yeah, Pizzi's not going to press. How are you going to talk to Bruma? Are you going to get Bruma to press? It changes everything, you know? Mm-hmm. So maybe that could have been into it as well. Bring in some young guys with some talent who are going to buy in right away because this is the level they want to get to, and then take another step up after. So it had to be a little bit of both. With the Thiago Helgueta thing, you're right. I don't think you're ever replace Musrati, and I'm not even saying he's going to, right? Mm-hmm. But you see something there that you haven't seen since Musrati. Mm-hmm. And this last game they started Gorby, and there just wasn't a connection there, and you didn't see it, and you're like, I know what you're trying to do, but Musrati could switch the field with a pass, and he could, 100%. If he didn't look fast, he almost like he could gallop with a stride and get through the midfield and then make a pass up. And mm-hmm. he was just a well-rounded player who was undervalued, mm-hmm. and it worked out. And I don't think you can find a player that does that quite often. So this kid's showing something, and the little bit that I've seen him, it could just be that I'm looking so hard for that player that it's, I want it to be true, you know? I don't even know if it's there, but you're hoping it is. But I'm intrigued. I really am with that. The left back, if I'm going to what I've been hammering Victor Gomez for the better part of half a season now, he hasn't improved. So I thought they would be able to get a right back, because him and Joe Mendes, I just don't see how, if they're going to develop much more. The left back, I was a big fan of Borja. I don't think he was by any means some world-class player, but I thought he was solid. Mm-hmm. And when they decided to let him go, and they brought this Polish kid in who's played in, he was a part of the team that won the league. So I'm like, all right, so he can play with some pressure. But man, him not being able to get on the field over Adrian Marin is kind of shocking to me. He was in for 1 minute or 2 minutes against Rayo Vallecano, I think the Spanish club. And he got burnt for a cross in a matter of a minute. And right there, I'm like, okay, it's probably defensive reasons why he's not in the game. Because offensively, he looks okay. He can take the ball. He can put crosses in. He delivers a cross with some force and meaning behind it. But it's probably defensively that he's not ready. So I would like to see them do a little more at the fullback spot. And there's still some rumors coming out. This whole month left, I don't know if they get anything done, but you do hear some rumblings on maybe they went in for another fullback, and hopefully something comes out of it. I'm intrigued. I do think he has quality players. I'm shocked they did a deal with Malaga, given the whole Ricardo Horta fiasco.
Right.
I found it to be pretty, you know, that's just Antonio Salvador in a nutshell. on, bad blood, put it behind us. Let's just strike a deal. And also, I found that interesting. But I mean, I'm skeptical. I'm a little worried. From you want them to progress, especially in Europe right now with today's news and how it looks, you would see them do well. But I understand. I do think this is a new coach. It's going to take time. You had 2 years of a guy who was willing to sacrifice all defensive responsibilities to get a goal. And after Jorge, it maybe it was because he knew these guys were no good. Maybe he knew his defense, no matter what he did, was not good enough to hold a scoreline at 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, we have to, you know, and maybe that's just the way he thought. He's like, they're not good enough. Doesn't bring in any coach you want. These guys are not good enough to close the lines down and stop a team from scoring. So we'll see how it goes. I'm enthused, but I'm also, I understand. I don't think we have the same expectation we did when we had guys like, I think he's still going to end up on the roster. Ronnie Lopes has been off the side practicing by himself.
Right.
I don't think he was a favorite of Arthur Jorge. I do think eventually he probably comes back into the roster to battle it out with Roger. I think if you're going to pay the guy $2 million or $1 million a year is the rumor or something, but you're probably going to have to just put him on the pitch.
Yeah.
And then the Roger thing, Roger in general seemed like an addition, knowing the fact that he almost left.
Well, I'm sure his agent would say he was always happy to stay at the club.
Yeah, sure, right.
But I mean, use the word expectation. So it brings me nicely onto my last question about how you are feeling ahead of the new season. You mentioned Europe as well, obviously. The Europa League qualifying going well so far, but tougher games to come. I believe the potential draw was playing Servette next and then potentially Trabzonspor and I forget another club, but an opportunity to get into the Europa League group stages. And of course, in the league, you know, I think there's a lot more caution around the expectations because last year, perhaps people got a bit carried away with some of the names that were brought in and perhaps some of the bigger clubs who were struggling a little bit and about this opportunity to get high up the table. Feels like there's a bit more caution and reservation around Braga at this point.
Yeah, with last year's expectation, it's funny. I don't even think it was. I mean, granted, you get any possibility of quality on your team, and you're like, all right, we got to set the bar high, see how it goes. Portugal's tough. Portugal, it's not like Brazil, where a team can be up 9 points, 10 points. In Portugal, if you're up 10 points. You pretty much you're already saying we're out of it. There's no chance in recovering, you know. And then it's very difficult. But I think it's where you have to be. I mean, how many clubs, right, in this league? And I admire the league. I watch as much of the league as I can. How many clubs would you say try to make Europe? If you had to put a number to it, out of the 18,
at a real push, you say six, but really it's four, maybe five.
Right. So if everybody else seems like they're fighting not to go down.
Exactly.
And it's, that's 12 to 13 teams. If we're, you know what I mean? If we're, if that's a lot to that, all are saying, we just don't want to go to the second division.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And obviously the big three say they fight for the championships. Vitória doesn't say they're going to fight for the podium. They say we're going to finish fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get above Braga, go from there. Braga's in this spot where they want to take a jump. They seem financially stable to the point where they're better than the clubs below them. But how else do you make that jump? You have to do it now. It has to grow organically, but you got to put some pressure on yourself. So I was happy to see them say no. Players saying we're here to win. Although it might have been a stretch, understood. The players were... But you got to do it at some point. You have to be willing to battle it out and take all the pressure that comes with it. And obviously, they didn't respond well, but I also, there was a lot of coaching issues. And from all the blogs you read, there were factions in the locker room. And that January salary dump they made when they moved on with Almuzrali, Andre Horta, there was a lot going on there that I think didn't get released. And, in order to take that next step, I do think you gotta have some expectation high. I don't think Braga can just say we're here to come in fourth anymore. It just doesn't. You gotta have something to play for. That's the only way that you're gonna be able to compete in Europe, because it's obviously been extremely difficult to Portugal hasn't done well, and Braga has not done well the last few years. I thought they had the ability to get out of their group in the Champions League, the way it unfolded, and they just couldn't get it down. The year before, Arthur Jorge did a tough job, and he drew some games. And he was up 2-3 to 1 away in a game, and he ended up drawing, giving up 2 to 3 goals in the second half. And it just you gotta be better than that. And if you don't put that pressure on yourselves, and you just say, "Well, we gave it our best," I don't think you get better. So I'm happy with that ability to push. You're not going to see it this year. I mean, I think they're still not sure what they're going to do. You're going to break a lot of bad habits with this club defensively.
I agree.
So we'll see how that works. Europe, I think they played a very poor Israeli team. I don't think they didn't come to open the pitch, which I think would have helped. But you got a team that's going to – I think this next round is going to be significantly more entertaining. Given the news today that if whoever loses this match and drops down to the conference league is going to take a nice trip up to Stamford Bridge. I think you're going to see two teams that want to play football, want to score, and will hold leads. I don't think you're going to see this collapse of a team. I think they understand the importance of this match. And I think it's two teams that are going to want to play. Servette, from what I understand, are not just a team who just sits back. So you're going to see teams want to play football. And with that Israeli team, it was difficult.
Yeah,
they just sat back and they didn't try to play. So I'm hoping for a better quality game.
Yeah,
that they show, because I don't think they've been firing on all cylinders, and they have not been – they missed a lot of passes too, which was really odd. So you got to break a lot of bad habits.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I said at the beginning that we'd seen Braga in some competitive action, but you are right. It was quite – low quality perhaps, and therefore I think the real tests do start now with the return of the Premier League and with Seville on the horizon. So it's going to be really interesting to see Braga in the next few weeks, see how it all goes.
What do you think of them?
Well, I was just about to say, I've got to be careful with my expectation with Braga. I've got Braga wrong completely the last two seasons in a row. Two seasons ago under Carvajal, when Braga almost were at one point within touching distance of first place and then finished in a Champions League spot. Before that season, I said I've never seen Braga further away from cracking the top three. So I got that wrong. And then last season with all the signings, I thought, well, they're in a great position and they've got some exciting signings and a good manager. So they'll be the ones to get in the top two. And then last season happened. So I've got to be cautious. But I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I think a lot of interesting signings, great manager. I'm really happy with the manager. But for me, this is a transition year. And I think this is where you start to see if Braga is serious about, you know, the next 5 years. I think this is the season where you see a lot of the seeds sown and a lot of the ideas start to grow and hopefully build something exciting for the next few years with an exciting manager who's learning his trade, some players who are going to grow and become key players for the club. I think it would be a real surprise if you guys had a bad season. I would be surprised by that. I think it will hopefully be a good season with some good moments. Listen, maybe chuck in an Allianz Cup in there for good measure. Why not? And then, hopefully this time at the end of the season, we're chatting again and we're talking about a lot of optimism, a lot of things to be positive about, and some really good signs. I think that would be, a great success. Dave, listen, I'll let you go. You've given us a lot of your time. I know you're a busy man, so thanks so much for your time. Just a reminder for everyone listening, Dave's co-host of That Braga Podcast, which you can check out on Spotify, and of course a great follower on Twitter. Some funny comments always worth checking out. But Dave, thank you so much for joining us, man. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate it, and you guys do a great job too. I'm a big fan of your show. You guys keep it honest. You're wholesome with your predictions. Wrong or right, you're willing to man up for it. And not many people give anybody the time of day in the Portuguese league besides the big three, but you're willing to say whether you're right or wrong. And that's big. I'm a big fan of it. Keep it up. You guys are a great listener.
I appreciate it. Cheers so much, David.
Thanks. Take care.